This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know, $161 million ain't bad for less than a week's work. You pile another $250 million-ish on top of that for overseas box office. And Furious 7, yes, the seventh installment of the Fast and Furious franchise, is, you might say, off and running. That is despite the death of star Paul Walker a year and a half ago and Universal's digital efforts to keep his character alive in the film. Wesley Morris writes on movies for Grantland. Wesley, good to talk to you again.
Nice to see you. Welcome to New York.
I know. We're in a different place. Furious 7.
Oh, my God.
So, first of all, have you seen it? Because it's not my cup of tea.
Have I seen it? Yeah,
have
I've
you?
Seen it.
And?
I think it's great. I love it. I love, as you know, I love these movies. We've
yes.
had this conversation
yes.
at least one other time. They're so much better made than they even need to be at this point.
Yeah.
And that is part of the pleasure in watching them.
Is it not a tad ghoulish, though? With Paul Walker no longer being with us and them having sort of redigitized him and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, three things. Thing yes. number one is I can't tell where the digital trickery okay. comes in and the actual Paul Walker right. ends.
Fair enough. Thing two.
Thing two is I think the movie does a really good job of treating his relationship to this series in as credible a way that is in no way ghoulish, actually.
Uh-huh.
There's a montage at the end.
Right. They do a little tribute.
But it's sort of extra narrative, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the plot. But the audience knows what the montage is about.
Oh,
but
it.
For the environment of these films,
yeah.
it is actually pointing towards something more optimistic. And then the third thing is I think it actually turns into a celebration of Paul Walker.
Fair enough.
In his relationship to these movies, too. He's in the whole movie. So there's a surreal continuity to what actually happened to him.
Interesting.
And Brian O'Connor, who is the character
right.
he plays
right.
in these movies.
Right.
I think it's very deftly and very tastefully done.
Fair enough. The numbers on this thing are bananas.
Yes.
Making money hand over fist.
Yes.
I wonder if, and this is something you and I have talked about in the past, part of the reason they are making so much money is that the cast is so diverse and thus the audience, the potential audience for this film is also diverse and thus bigger.
I think that is definitely a huge part of it, at least in North America.
Yeah.
I think the number is 75% non-white,
mm-hmm.
the audience. I find that really exciting.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how the film industry responds to this. Now, this is the seventh of these movies.
Right.
And the lineup of these movies hasn't changed too much. They've always been predominantly brown. I mean, I think people think that Universal has the multiracial, multiethnic thing locked
yeah.
up, right?
Yeah.
I think they have the Fast and Furious thing locked up. I don't think it's that people only want to see brown people drive cars and you
right.
know.
There's the pull quote right there.
And rob banks.
Yeah.
With the right people and the right story, you know, you can have a diverse cast without calling attention to the fact that you have
a diverse cast.
Right.
A word here about the franchiseness of this thing. Universal
yes.
is obviously sitting pretty with this one, but they have not had a lot of success with franchises.
Yeah, I don't know whether this one even continues. I mean, I'm curious to know how many more of these movies they make.
Can I go see this one without having seen 1 through 6?
My God. Can you understand cars going backwards out of flying objects?
Yes, I can.
And like landing via parachute on roads in the Caucasus? I think you can get it.
All right. Wesley Morris, he writes on films for Grantland. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.